Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Today, we're going to be ranking the top 5 snacks to have with beer.
Coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off. The actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off. The facts are exact. Top 5 face-off. Top 5 face-off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back to the show. And if it's your first time, welcome.
Yeah, hello.
Girl, why don't we start by telling any new listeners what it is we do here and why we do it.
Well, here we provide a valuable resource for the entire internet by ranking random things to see which is officially the best. This week we're doing snacks to have with beer, which was chosen by one of our Patreons, Wookie. Thank you very much, Wookie. At the end of the show, we'll spin the wheel to see what next week's topic is, but we're going to tell you our top 5, and you, the rankers, can vote for which of us is correct. One of us is always correct.
But we can't just dive into it, because we're British.
How distasteful that would be.
How's the weather been, mate?
The weather has been all right. It's not been great. It's not been bad. It's been pretty vanilla on the weather front. It's been okay.
Fair enough. This end, it's been up and down, but today it's really muggy, or as they say up our ways these days, it's re-claggy.
Re-claggy.
That's right. Claggy is the word for muggy in Worksop. I don't know if it's a general northern term. Worksop does seem to have its own language in many ways because it's right on the border of so many counties. But it is currently right claggy, and I'm expecting some rain to clear that off. Which would be a shame because I'm hoping to have drinks on the green later.
Ooh, well, that sounds very nice indeed. But Hurst, you know what the rankers are waiting for. How is the lemon plant doing?
Well, Lemony Snicket is in good form at the moment. It's made a move to outdoors 3 days in a row. I've not brought it in because it's been warm enough to not cause any problems. The leaves are still looking pretty green, and I have been feeding it some proper plant food with its water at the moment to just give it a bit of a boost. Ooh. Once we've moved house, I'm planning to change its pot to something a little bit bigger, give it a bit more chance to grow. Nothing too big that I can't bring it in for the winter, but yay for the lemon plant.
Excellent. To temper the ranker's expectations, we're not expecting lemons this year, are we?
Oh, goodness, no. Well, if they've been on our Facebook page, they'll see the size of the plant, and that can probably help too.
Right. Possibly by episode 300, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's it. I mean, you don't expect your kid to pop out and then be off to university a couple of years later. You've got to let these things grow and flourish and flower.
We should mention her, speaking of episode 300, this is our exciting double-digit episode. This is our 10th episode, Rankers. Ooh.
I can't believe it, and I'm sure the Rankers can't believe it either. It's just gone so quickly. What a joyous thrill ride it's been working on this project.
Indeed. At the end of this episode, we'll have ranked 100 things between us.
Blimey.
Blimey. And Patreons would have ranked 120, because they've got extras. Sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/top5faceoff to find out what. Ooh. But it being our 10th episode, we are on our mid-season. And after this episode, we will be taking our mid-season break. Hurst has to move house. I have to play with traction engines. You know how it is to get them huzz interested. So we will be having probably 2 weeks off, we reckon, depending on how everything goes. We will see you in at least 2 weeks. No, we will see you at most 2 weeks. That's not how you say that. How do I say that, Hurst?
You would say that we will see you at the most 2 weeks' time. We will see you, I don't know, 2 weeks' time we'll probably be back.
We will be having a maximum of 2 weeks off, and then we'll be back ranking more stuff. But we don't know what we're ranking until the end of this episode.
Well, that said, because of today's topic, I do have beers with me, and I've seen that you do as well.
Yes, indeed. I have Cronenberg. It was cheap at work, which is fine.
I have Desperado, which is never cheap anywhere, but it tastes like the gods sent it straight from heaven.
It did indeed. Cheers, Rankers.
Cheers, Rankers.
I hope you've got your drinks at home too. Unless you're currently listening while driving in your car, in which case, I hope you have your drinks in your car. So, Hurst, what's going on?
Well, the big thing that's been going on is the Pope died.
He did. Mm.
Which everyone knows already. But weirdly enough, the reason it's made more of what's been going on is that Carly and I were sat on the Sunday in our living room hanging out on our street, watch a movie, and we popped on, I think it was Prime or, you know, other streaming services are available.
Hit us up for that sweet sponsorship, Amazon.
Yeah, help us drill into the internet money. We watched, strangely enough, Angels and Demons, which is about where the Pope dies and all the stuff that goes on around, and it's a big conspiracy. And literally the next morning, we turned on the telly and the Pope had died, and we looked at each other and went, oh my God, the Matrix is real. It's only got so many programs to run and it's just glitched out hard. So if that was us, sorry, the Pope. But if it was just a coincidence, geez. What's been going on your end anyway?
Yesterday, Hurst, I rock up to work, arrive at delivery operations, look on the board to see if I've been assigned a lorry for that day. My name wasn't on there. And that happens sometimes. They're running a bit late. So I sat on one of the couches and waited. Gave it 5 minutes. Went up and asked one of the managers. I asked, I can't see my name on the board. Have I been fired and you forgot to tell me? And they're like, don't think so. So they looked through their list and then kind of stopped and looked up a bit. Went, you're on holiday today. You booked it in February. Fucking no idea why I might have done such a thing, Hurst. Why did I book a random day off work when I had no plans whatsoever? And I was like, huh, and this is 6:45 in the morning.
That's pretty annoying.
So I'm like, all right, I guess I'll see you later. Left. So yeah, that was that's what's been going on. I went to work by accident.
Oh, that's a terrible thing. Especially that early. How early did you have to get up in order to make 7:30 at work?
No, 7 at work was when I was due to start. So I get there a bit before that. A little bit before 6, so 5:45 my alarm goes off. Got to keep this country running, Hurst. These things don't arrive places by magic, it turns out.
It's true, and I'm not doing my bit, so someone's got to pull their weight.
Hurst, you're providing a valuable information resource for the masses.
That is true, I am doing that. Speaking of which, who won? I'm staring in the barrel of 4 losses in a row. And
you are.
I don't know if my fragile little ego can take that, to be honest.
We're going
to
go straight past gripping my shit and feeling old, are we? All right. He needs to know.
I need to know. We can come back to what's gripping our shit.
All right, cool. Well, Hurst, some of the comments. First of all, from Meg98, who always seems to get involved in the comments. Lovely to hear from you.
We love you.
Well, Meg voted for me, so I love her more.
Shut up, Meg.
Meg says, that's really casting my vote. Good work, Meg.
Nice. Top quality verb in my noun.
Another person voted for me, Anonymous. They gave us their own list, Hurst.
Wow.
It's completely wrong because, you know, they're not official. But I'll read it out. They said, hate to do this, by which they mean hate to vote for me, because your list doesn't align with mine at all. And their list was, at number one, Quake Free Arena on a PC. At number two, Frontier Elite 2 on an Amiga. Fucking dull as piss, that game. At number three, says the word of soccer on the Amiga. At number four, Bomberman on the Amiga. At number five, Lemmings on the Amiga. Think they might have had an Amiga.
Think they might work for Amiga.
Maybe. But they did then go on to say Cannon Fodder was in their top 10, hence that's why they voted for me. And one more comment for you, Hurst, from Trooper. Excellent Patreon Trooper. Thank you, Trooper. Who says, bloody raw. Bloody poor, more like.
Oh, nice. Nice punnery.
However, none of this tells you the result, Hurst.
I don't like the fact that I only got one comment, though. That never bodes well.
Well, it's boded okay, Hurst. I got 15 votes.
Oh, that's never winning.
And you got 19 votes.
Yes! Come on!
So I do not get 4 in a row, which is good because we can't think of a good name for 4 in a row.
The puns were low and we might need the Malcolms to get onto punning us out a four-peat.
But they can take their time, Hurst, because it's not happening for a while now.
You know, don't stay up too late. Don't take any time off work for it.
And if you do take time off work, don't go. There's a pro hint from your friend Scroll. Hurst, what are officially top 5 video games from the 90s?
Well, I'm glad you asked. The top 5 video games are, in 5th place, Shinobi on the Game Gear. In 4th place, Sonic the Hedgehog, both Game Gear and Mega Drive. In 3rd place, Worms on the PlayStation. In 2nd place, Tekken 3 on the PlayStation. And finally, the top 90s video game of all time ever is Super Mario Kart.
An excellent list.
Bravo, rankers.
All right, so now we're all out of order and I'm scratching my head a bit. We've had some gripping your shit alternatives, Hurst. Your noun.
Tell me what the rankers have told us.
One of them I've already heard from Meg98 was casting my vote. Very good. More of a joke, but we liked it, Meg. This one is from Anonymous. Came through email. That's really pulling my pubes, Hurst.
Ooh, nice. Bit of alliteration as well. We all like a little alliteration.
Very nice. So has anything been pulling your pubes this week, Hurst?
Yeah, well, you know what's really been vinegary in my pudding? It's the fucking conveyances again. Neil, because of the moving house thing, I don't want to get too boring. I won't go into it in too much detail, but we have a conveyancer.
It costs 5 minutes, Raggers.
Whose name is Jordan. I'm not going to give you a surname because that seems a bit mean. And I don't want to start a hate campaign.
Sure.
But he's the least proactive person I think I've ever had to deal with, in as much as almost every time I chase him up for something, he'll say, yeah, no, I've not heard back yet. I'm just waiting on the other guy. And then a couple of hours later, miraculously, the thing I was after comes in. He's like, all right, just received this. Yeah, we can move on. To the point that it's almost a joke. Literally every time I chase him up for something, he says, no, we've not got it yet. And then I can expect in a few hours to check my email and see that said thing has been achieved. That has been flicking my knicker elastic all week.
I can imagine. Come on, Jordan, lock in. Rankers, spam lock in Jordan in the comments of whatever app you're using. Let's make sure Hurst can move house when he wants to, which I believe is next week.
Friday.
Ooh,
yeah.
Very exciting. You know what's been yanking on my pubic hair, Hurst?
Now, what has been yanking your pubes?
The sun's come out a bit. So what's happening outside? Wasps. Tossers. Fuck off, wasps. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. Nature's bastards. About feeling old, Hurst? You feeling old?
Not especially. I mean, both my elbows hurt. It's more of a just general achy joints age. Nothing this week has made me go, oh, God, I'm so old. So I'd say I feel sprightly. What about you?
Something that I noticed has been happening with some regularity to me now. I don't even know if it's related to being old, but I don't remember it ever happening when I was younger. Let's say I'm sitting on the sofa, Hurst, and I'm enjoying some television. Maybe I'm watching the new series of Cobra Kai, and my phone buzzes in my pocket, and I get my phone out of my pocket, and it hasn't buzzed in my pocket. It's like phantom buzz. I don't know if that's just me.
No, it's not.
Is it just old people?
No, it's just a very real thing. Phantom buzzes is a real and terrible thing.
I don't like it. It needs to stop.
24% of the whole population struggle with phantom buzz.
Oh, that sounds like an estimated fact, Hurst.
Yeah, I presume that's roughly right.
I mean, yes, it's fine. Everyone knows. 24%. 24.2%, if you want to be accurate.
So it's not a majority, but it's a genuine condition that 24% of the population suffers with.
Should we rank some shit, Hurst?
Yeah, let's do this.
Alrighty.
Right, before we flip the coin, we should probably establish what we decided constituted a snack to have with beer.
Yes, here come some guidelines, Rankers.
So we decided that, I mean, technically you can eat anything with beer, so it needed to be something that you could order at a bar and walk away taking it with you with your beers, not something you would have to order. So, for example, chicken wings, which are good with beer, are not a beer snack or a snack to have with beer. They're more of a side order. So things like crisps and nuts and things that might come in a small bowl or a packet from the bar, that would count.
A quick aside, I've seen some excellent things put on the bar for free for people to eat. You know, some places put peanuts down for people to share, and there's all those stories about the peanuts actually being full of piss, whether that's true or not, who knows, because nasty patrons touch their wee and then touch the peanuts without washing their hands. But I think my favourite has been a place that on Sunday evening just put down bowls of roast potatoes and gravy to dip them in. Good job, that pub.
That is outstanding work from that pub. You're absolutely right. Bum fingers is a real genuine concern for any free bar snack bar.
I get in there. I'm not bothered.
If it's roast potatoes, you might just want to risk bum fingers on that.
Well, these ones came with little chip forks because they were hot as well. So bum fingers, not an issue.
Oh, that is good. That would not qualify as a bar snack.
It would not. No, you can't order it at the bar and expect to take it away in a kind of normalish pub, right? That's what we were going for. You're sitting outside in the beer garden. It's a lovely sunny day. You've got your brews. There's dogs around. It's kind of busy, but you never have to queue for long at the bar. And then you walk up to the bar and you think, I know what I'll have to go with my beer. It will be one of the following 10 things.
And when you go back out, you find that wasps aren't really harassing you too much for it.
Wasps have gone extinct because it's the perfect goddamn afternoon in the pub.
Nice.
Yeah.
Someone's got a picnic like two doors down and all the wasps are there.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Especially if there's someone like James Corden. James Corden's having a picnic.
Ooh, don't like James Corden.
Fucking get him, wasps. Then I wouldn't hate you so much. Hurst, shall we decide which of us is going to rank first?
We should, but how are we going to do it?
Well, I was going to flip the coin of destiny.
Good call.
How are we going to know which side wins which?
Well, I'll tell you how. Heads for Hurst, squirrels have tails. Flip it.
Up she goes. It's gone miles away. Here it is. Tails, squirrels have tails.
Off you go then, mate. Tell me what's in at number five.
Strap in, Hurst, for my number five. I'm at the bar. I've ordered a round, as is good and proper. As is, this is the perfect pub. They come in the same shaped glasses, so you can pick five of them up without worrying that one is a vase and one is a trophy, and you're going to fucking throw mm-hmm. all over the floor. Mm-hmm. You can only carry three at most. I've also ordered, Hurst, some dry roasted peanuts.
Fantastic.
Number five. Dry roasted peanuts. I feel if I was at home on the sofa and just watching TV and didn't have beer, I would think I prefer normal salted peanuts. However, I think with beer, dry roasted peanuts are superior. I feel they have a better contrast with the beer you are drinking. Dry roasted peanuts are different from salted peanuts because you don't use oil when you cook them, hence the name. They are dry roasted and they're generally covered in salt, yeast extract for some umami flavor, and then things like onion powder, paprika, garlic powder, other bits and bobs depending on the brand. But they all have a very similar taste, and it tastes of dry, and they're just fine to have with beer. Number five, bring me a packet of those dry roasted peanuts. Not especially fussy about the brand. Some of the supermarket ones are bad, not because they taste bad, but because the peanuts are small. I don't like that. I want them bigger peanuts.
Fair play, mate. No, that's absolutely bang on. So I got some cheap peanuts from Asda to eat with the show because I've got a lot of snacks with me.
Mm.
I agree. I'm very much on board with the dry roasted peanuts. So good call. For me, number five, I have possibly controversially gone with Twiglets.
All right.
Now, Twiglets are an unusual flavour and an unusual texture, and they're not a snack that I tend to go for. However, if you get a little porcelain bowl of Twiglets and you're drinking a beer, suddenly they're transformed into an excellent snack. So, in fact, I'm just going to...
Squirrel here. Be aware, rankers, that Hurst is going to eat during this episode, and I literally can't bring myself to listen to him doing that, especially in headphones. So that's unedited. And he's a pretty noisy guy, so sorry.
So, in fact, I'm just going to... So I've just had a Twigger, and it's nice. Somehow it enhances the beer, because it gets stuck in your teeth a little bit, the Twiglet texture. You get that resurgence, and then you get beer-flavoured Twiglet as a kind of follow-through. I don't know what it is about beer that makes Twiglets so excellent when they wouldn't normally come onto my radar, but for me, number five, Twiglets.
There we are. I'd like to apologise in advance for the next four for anyone who suffers from misophonia, especially the eating kind. Top five disorders. Let us know, patrons. Cool. Twiglets. Yep. Fun fact about Twiglets. If you bite off one end and then bite off the other end, they turn into a kind of straw because they're basically Marmite flavoured sticks, but they have a hole through the middle. You can smoke them.
Wow.
There you are.
That is an interesting fact.
So there you are, rankers. Everyone go out and start smoking Twiglets. Probably better for you than most other things you can smoke. Number four, and I'm pretty sure you can't smoke these, Burton's fish and chips. Now, don't be thinking I've ordered fish and chips at the bar. I've ordered that little white bag that has the little salt and vinegar flavoured crackers in. Some are shaped like fish and some are shaped like rectangles.
Chips.
Which are meant to be chips.
Yeah.
They're bloody delicious.
They really are.
They take Moorish to a whole new level. I could scran handfuls of them without even really realising I'm doing it. Let me read to you a little bit I got from the website, Burton's website, Hurst. We reintroduced this iconic brand in 2014 following high-profile campaigns in the Grocer's Bring Back the Brand poll and The Sun, where it was voted number one retro brand the nation wanted to see back on the shelf. So, turns out, The Sun newspaper has actually done something good, Hurst.
It helped do something good. I'm not going to give it credit.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. They're punchy salt and vinegar, which is the best kind of salt and vinegar. They don't mess about. They let you know you're eating them, and I approve of that.
Yeah, they are excellent. And I like the texture of them. They've got their own kind of, like you say, cracker.
Yes, they fall apart quite quick.
They do. They kind of, if you stick there and suck them, they will disintegrate on your tongue, and then you've got, like, fish and chip paste. Great, good answer. Good number four there. For me, number four is Frazzles / Bacon Bites / Bacon Fries any variety of that that you can get hold of. As it happens, my favorite is the Asda. You can buy the big bags of bacon bites.
Yes.
They're only a pound and they are brilliant. So. Mmm. Yes. That is delicious. I had bacon for lunch and I can confirm they really don't taste like bacon. But they are a salty, bacon-esque, good crunch. And again, the texture is different from a normal crisp. It's different from a nut. It's distinctly man-made, but good for that. Again, it gets stuck in your teeth. You can enjoy that frazzle for hours. So for me, number four, frazzles / bacon fries / bacon bites.
Interesting choice. Let's wait. We're going to hear more about that choice shortly. But not that shortly, because at number three, I have specifically Piper's Great Berwick Longhorn Beef Crisps. I contend these are the best crisps you can have with beer. They are by a company called Piper's. The bags are brown at the top and bottom and have white in the middle with the writing on. Quite a few bars are getting them now because they're very nice, although they do charge you through the nose for the goddamn things. They're delicious. They are really well made. Normal potato crisps that taste of beef, because unlike most meat crisps, these actually have goddamn beef extract in them, so they're not suitable for vegetarians. When you get toward the bottom of the bag, there is a notable sheen of oil coating the inside of the bag. Excellent. They taste incredible. All Piper's crisps are great. These are the best ones of them. They go with beer really well because they're meaty and they're salty and they're delicious, just like me.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here imagining supping on my beer, having a bite of one of those, supping on the beer. And that's what really makes a good snack, is that they become dependent upon one another.
That's right. Yes.
So after you've done it for a while, the beer doesn't taste right without the snack following it, and the snack doesn't taste right without the beer following it. And that allows you to really push forward on any good afternoon of drinking.
Plus, another bonus thing for the Piper's crisps is the packets are really easy to open out into a little table / plate that you put in the middle of, because only an absolute ruffianhurst would open the crisps from the top like normal and put them in the middle of the table expecting people to help themselves. No, you completely open the crisps.
I thought you were going to go for the selfish bellfish there who just buys a packet of crisps and eats it on their
own. Can't imagine such a person as.
But yeah, that's only fractionally better than opening the top and putting it on the table. You have to open that pack right up for everyone so they all know.
Yeah, help yourself. Yes.
If you put it there and you haven't opened it properly, it's like, is that there for everyone? Or is he just put his crisps out to stamp some authority to claim some land on the table?
Honestly, Hurst, if I went to the pub with someone who did that, who bought themselves snacks and just ate them, not only would it be someone I didn't really know because I wouldn't ever see that person again, but you can guarantee I would be talking about it next podcast because it would be gripping my goddamn shit. What an absurd thing to do. Have you met someone that's done that? That's made me angry.
I mean, not for a long time, really. There's someone I used to know who I can't remember, but I'm sure it's exactly the kind of thing he'd have done because that's just what it was like. But no, that's not acceptable behaviour.
I bet James Corden does that.
Wow, he's really upset you, isn't he?
No, he's just shit. We sent him away to America. We're not getting him back now, are we? So that's good. Anyway, yeah, number three, Piper's beef crisps.
For me, number three is a more generic one. It's just salt and vinegar crisps in general. There are some that are better than others. So what I've got here right now, mind your headphones.
I'll just take my headphones off again. Give you a wave when you're talking.
Now that is a Walker's salt and vinegar.
Okay.
Which has got a really good blend of the salt and the vinegar. It's not weak. It's not killer. It allows you to get both the flavors. The only downside with a very, very strong vinegar crisp is when it burns your tongue and then you can't really appreciate the beer afterwards. Now, outside of beer, I'm all for that. I want to have my head blown off by salt and vinegar. I did have a packet of squares once that someone had screwed up in manufacturing.
Oh, the dream bag.
And you know the salt and vinegar dust?
Yes.
Every single crisp had a thick coat of it on. Every crisp was like a battle with my tongue, and it was
perfect.
Absolutely wonderful. But salt and vinegar crisps, Walkers are there a lot, so that's good news. I love a McCoy. I love Squares. Squares did have a bit of a period in the darkness where they were really just kind of weak as piss, but
yes.
I went back to them a few years ago, and they have upped their game. No longer
they got bought by Walkers, didn't they? I think that helped.
Well, it must have done.
Smiths, if I remember correctly.
Well, Walkers have really decided that squares is where they're going to put the most of their vinegar. And it was since then that I've had that overwhelming day, that one perfect day, that Felix Felicis day of squares. Generally, salt and vinegar crisp, if they're there, that's what I'm going to go for. It's disappointing when it's not a good vinegary one. But as I say, with beer, just there's something about crisps and beer and crisps and beer. Like you said, with your Piper's roast potato, they work so well off one another. They're available almost everywhere as well. One of the things that's really been fucking slapping my tits is trying to find all the snacks that I wanted for this episode. Mm. I had to go to 3 shops to get all of my top 5.
Ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
If you have a co-op near you, I feel their salt and vinegar crisps are the best ones. They are painful. They are great.
For me, number 3, salt and vinegar crisps.
There we are. All right, we're on to number 2 already, Hurst. And my number 2, there's going to be some controversy from something you said earlier, because my number 2 is specifically Smith's Bacon Fries. The fact that you lump them in with the bullshit supermarket bacon crisps is absolutely mind-boggling to me, Hurst. They are head and shoulders better.
Yeah.
For start, they taste of bacon. Like actual bacon. They taste like bacon.
But do they, though?
Yes.
Do they really?
When was the last time you had some? I feel you've forgotten what they're like, because they are utterly brilliant. The only downside is they're really small bags.
They are really small bags. I find that texture-wise, they're a little bit disappointing as well. They're borderline crisps.
They're very crunchy, and that's how I like my bacon, to be fair.
Yeah, me too. But I'm not buying bacon. Oh. I'm buying bacon
fries. No, you're buying
fries.
A bacon substitute.
I want it to sit in my teeth a bit more and, you know, be a multi-meal.
No, you see, it's bacon fries. Specifically, to get the name right, if you look carefully at the packet, between the word bacon and fries is the word flavour. It's very small writing. Bacon flavour fries. Because technically, of course, you're not just eating bacon. Although I do think that would be an excellent thing to put in a bag if you could stop it from going soggy, which I suggested you can't.
Be expensive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I'd buy it.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you see bacon fries paired up with scampi fries, which come in the green packet. Now, they gave brief troubling to my list. My list was pretty easy to put together. I always knew what my top 5 were going to be. But scampi fries were in with a shout. They didn't make it, but they're okay. They're very pungent. I feel they smell better than they taste. No, they smell worse than they taste. One or the other.
Yeah, they are good. But you they're only fine. Ever fancy them when you're in the pub and you've already had some other snack and you want to change your pace. It's a change of pace snack.
Even though the bag is really small, you perhaps, by the time you've eaten half of it, you're like, I wish I'd have got bacon fries. And you'd be right. Number 2, bacon fries.
Oh, the thing is, as well, with bacon fries that is against them, because the pack's so small, you come back to the table with that fucker, you open it up, like obviously you have to, as we discussed with crisps.
Everyone's getting like 3 each and that's it.
Out of push, yeah. It depends on who you're out with.
Oh, yeah, of course it does. Maths.
Not good economy. They are good, I mean, but for me, they lump in with many others, including frazzles and bacon fries.
That hurts me in the soul, Hurst, to hear say such shenanigans.
To throw such deadly truth bombs at you, yeah.
Truth bombs? To just show me that you have no existing palate because it's been burned off by co-ops or vinegar crisps.
Possibly true.
Well, go on then. What's your number 2?
My number 2 is Tekken 3 on the PS1. Oh, hang on a second.
An excellent choice. I feel you've mislabeled your notes.
No, my number 2 is something that you've already mentioned, and it is dry roasted peanuts.
Fair.
And again, I was torn with, do I go dry roasted, do I go salted? Because it's the salt in any of these snacks that makes the beer so good afterwards. If you had something sweet, it wouldn't work. Like things when I was thinking about what could be my worst, I thought, oh, imagine having like sweet popcorn with beer. I'm like, nah, nah. It's the salt that makes you thirsty, that makes you want to drink. Mm. And then the drink that makes you go, I could go for another one of those little snacks. And that's the symbiotic relationship of good beer snacks with beer.
I've got my beer and I've got some parasitic peanuts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But it works. You know, that's not all parasites are bad parasites. Think of those things that travel around on sharks and whales, just clearing off their barnacles or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a good relationship. So for me, my preference has always been dry roasted. I like salted peanuts and I think they are fantastic with beer. I would happily have them in a number 2 as well. But I don't think it's right to put 2 different types of peanuts in. If I couldn't get dry roasted peanuts, I would take salted peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably take both over. So it is hard to say. I've got both in the bowl with me right now. So let me take a little handful of the double whammy. Mind your ears. Ooh, hang on a second. Yeah. I'm getting the taste of both. I'm getting the taste of both, and I'm pleased with both. Anyway, let's not worry about that too much now. That can have further consideration later on. Dry roasted peanuts are great on their own. Dry roasted peanuts are great with beer. Dry roasted peanuts are exceptional snacks, only bettered by one snack. And considering neither of us have said my number one, I'm intrigued as to whether we're going to get a foghorn.
Could be. Could be. So that's my worst. You alluded to it earlier in a way. My worst is any kind of chocolate, which I see is becoming more and more prevalent in the pub. Chocolate, or sweet things in general, like you said, maybe cake, do not go with beer. Chocolate make your beer taste weird. If you're out eating and I'm drinking beer, I won't have dessert because it makes my beer taste weird. Don't know what it is, but anything sweet that I eat, I don't like my beer afterwards. It goes away after a bit, but that's why I will not order chocolate at the pub. It's not a sweet shop, is it? Come on now. I can't even think of an alcoholic drink I would want to have chocolate with. I mean, besides like a, what is called, White Russian or something.
Yeah, no, that would work.
Generally sweet drinks, but yeah.
I totally agree. I think anything sweet doesn't really go. I've had Haribo whilst drinking beer, and Haribo just always tastes amazing, but it doesn't do anything for the beer drinking process.
The chocolate doesn't taste bad. Let me be clear about this. The chocolate tastes fine because it tastes like chocolate. It just makes your beer worse. And I ain't having that. I pay good money for this beer.
I'm with you. And as we discussed earlier, this has actually been harder in many ways than finding our top five, because there's some great ones. But we're not overloaded like we were with the whole 90s video games, when there were so many that it's hard to narrow down to even a top 15, top 10, and then finally top five. So for my worst one, I've gone for something that has become more prevalent in recent years, largely in gastro bars more than pubs, places where they're trying to be a bit more upmarket, and it's unpitted olives.
Oh, Christ.
I like olives.
I mean, they're rank.
And I don't mind unpitted olives. They're a bit annoying when you eat them on your own. But to have them in public, sitting at a table opposite the chick that you really fancy, Carly for me, obviously.
And me.
And you, of course. It's mutual in all three ways. And to chomp on this olive and have this whilst you're trying to manipulate the pit out of the stupid olive, clear enough of it off that you've got decent value out of these, frankly, wildly overpriced olives. And then you have to put the grubby pre-chewed pit stone from the olive back in a little bowl.
Yeah.
Where the olives are, or on the table. It's just kind of gross.
It is.
It's a really badly thought out thing. And it's so avoidable. And that's the thing that really grinds my gears about that, is it's so avoidable. Just buy pitted olives. And you can get these great selections of olives and sometimes stuffed with peppers or garlic. And it's great.
Yes.
So for me, that's what I chose the worst. And that's why I chose it. Not because I don't like them. Same with chocolate. I like them, but that's not a snack to have in public.
I don't like olives anyway. Do you like green ones or black ones, Hurst? I understand there is some sort of debate among olive likers. They're both gross as far as I'm concerned.
I think the black ones are just a bit more ripened, so they're a bit softer. They're both all right. I think I probably prefer green ones. I like them a little bit more crunch on my olive.
All right. There we are. Hurst, should we hit the fanfare?
Let's do it.
Hurst, are you excited to find out what my number one is?
I'm really excited. I've just got to hope that we're going to have our second agreed number one. Obviously, The Matrix doesn't count because it's so obvious.
I would argue this one's fairly obvious, Hurst, because if anyone chooses anything for their number one, besides specifically Midland Snacks traditional pork scratchings, then I'm going to have issues. If someone comes along and says pork scratchings, shrug, like maybe I'll just buy them from Poundland, then I'll be like, that's not correct. But Midland Snacks traditional pork scratchings are the fucking daddy of pork scratchings, and that is why they are my number one. Not only do they taste of pig, brilliant, but they're the ones, they're crunchy and salty on the outside, and then you bite them and they're soft and fatty and salty in the middle. Bosh! That's what you want. And you don't get many of those tiny little hard ones that smash your teeth apart because they look like, oh, this will be a good one. And it's like, oh, no, that's terrible.
Not too many pick hairs on them.
No. Well, they burn them off, don't they, nowadays? But, oh, yeah, they're good. They're perhaps only beaten by the bags of them you can get, like, from the butcher sometimes, if you've got a good butcher. But you can't get them in the pub. So Midland Snacks traditional pork scratchings. I don't want them crunchy, fluffy ones that are more like sugar puffs than they are pork scratchings. Take that shit away from me. Bring me the ones that are full of shit that is genuinely so bad for you that you feel that you're dying as you finish the bag. That's what I want to go with my beer, because they are incredible. Again, the only downside, Hurst, they come in them little bags. You can't get fucking giant bags you can drop in the middle of the table. Sad times.
Yeah, no, that is true. Good call.
That's it. I've said there's not much to say about them, really, because they're just great and they're very simple, which is part of why they're great. But, Hurst, would you like a fact and an estimated fact about Midland Snacks traditional pork scratchings?
I would very much like that.
All right. Hurst, fact. It takes over 200 grams of pork to make 100 grams of pork scratchings.
Mm-hmm.
Or fact. There is more salt per 100 grams in supermarket bread than there is in pork scratchings.
Man, there is a lot of salt in pork scratchings.
There is.
And they do shrivel them down pretty good. I'm going to go with the first one, 200 for 100.
You're entirely correct, Hurst. It takes 227 grams of pork to make pork scratchings. In terms of salt in supermarket bread, it is closer than you might think. There is 3 grams of salt per 100 grams of pork scratchings, so barely any, 3%, 1.5% in supermarket bread, which is, interestingly, more than salted peanuts. There we are.
Yeah, they are not good for you. That is an actual fact.
No, they are not good for you at all. And that's why they are delicious. No, they are no. They are not. You can feel your arteries tightening up as you eat them.
But they might be a bit. Anyway, we'll come back to that, because for my number one, I'm going to hit you with it absolutely out of left field. It's pork scratchings.
I don't know if you're getting a fanfare. I want to hear more about the specific type of pork scratching you are hailing as your number one. I'll get your heart right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Midland ones are fine. Mr. Porky's fine. When they're really ropey then and they lack taste, then that's not good. But I'm not aligned to a particular brand. I'm with you. The best pork scratchings I've had come from the butchers. So I'm not going to pick a brand because, to be honest, once you've tried butchers, you can't really enjoy anything more. Yes, they're not available in the pub, but actually that isn't the criteria. It's snacks to have with beer.
We literally said you had to be able to order them at the bar and take them away with your drink.
And you could, but you can't order olives at every bar. You can't order Twiglets at every bar.
Have you ever been to a bar that sells you butcher bags of pork scratchings?
I've been to bars where they sell bags that are unbranded, which I assume come from the butchers, because I need to assume that.
Well, I'll allow it, but I don't know what the rankers are going to think about this fucking sacrilege.
When you go to somewhere like Cornwall and Devon, then most pubs will have local stuff in there. And my ex-wife had cousins in a really small village in Devon, and it had one pub, and it was fucking spectacular. It had local cider, it had local pork scratchings, and it was just absolutely banging. I love that place. King's Head. King's Head? Need to check that.
No one will know if you're wrong, Ernst.
Yeah, King's Head.
All right.
So, yes, I have. I've had butcher's pork scratchings in pubs, I think, considering how local everything was. I
made them in the pub. They're not difficult to make.
You know what? I don't even care, because they were stupendous. They were so good, so salty, so patently bad for me that it was just wonderful. As we've been talking about so much through this, the symbiotic relationship, I think that, for me, has never been more prevalent than when you're having pork scratchings and beer. Mm. The problem is, in a pub, they come in small packs.
Yes.
And they are gone within half a pint. So you're left with another
half
pint.
And you can see which ones the good ones are.
Yeah.
You know which ones are the best ones. And do you take the best ones? Are you polite? Or do you get in there?
Hurst. Like, for right now, look at that fucker.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. It's got the crispy top. It's got the slightly. And that's a Mr. Porky.
That sounded bad, actually. Hurst's teeth are now falling out, Rankers.
Tastes good, though.
Yeah.
Blimey. Bear with me a minute. I've got to finish this.
Hurst has muted himself, Rankers.
A few moments later.
Yeah, and then you finish it, so you're halfway through the beer, and you think, well, I need another packet of those. And they are such a brilliant compliment to beer once you've started on them. I'm looking at the rest of my snacks I've got out now, and nothing else makes me want to eat it.
They are pale in comparison to the pork scratchings here.
So I'm absolutely 100% in agreement. Pork scratchings are the greatest snacks to have with beer. And we're definitely right, because whichever listening to use, Pork scratchings are number one.
That's true. Pork scratchings are going to be the number one. But what about the rest of the list? It's up to you, rankers, to decide. Yeah. Go to our website, top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote for which of us you think is correct. And if you feel like it, leave a little comment. And if you want us to know who left the comment, put your name on it, because otherwise I can't tell when I read them out.
Right. Would you like a fact and an estimated fact?
I would love a fact and an estimated fact.
About pork scratchings in general, not a specific brand for me.
All right.
There are, in fact, health benefits from pork scratchings beyond the fact that it's a good source of protein. They're also beneficial for muscle repair, skin elasticity, and bone health.
Hmm.
Fact. Pork scratchings have been eaten as far back as the 3rd century BC, according to records that have been uncovered.
Both of these sound very plausible to me, Hurst, when you consider that heroin is good for you in some ways, but, you know, not in general. Absolutely, pork scratchings could be good for you from a protein point of view, but there are far, far healthier ways to get that protein into your body. The second fact certainly sounds plausible. They are not a complicated food.
They are not a complicated food.
You shave a pig, you take a grater to a pig, drop it in something hot and eat it. Would they be frying it in oil? Yes, maybe. Tough one, Hurst. Both sound very plausible. Have you checked to make sure that one of them isn't true?
Well, that they're not both true. So I haven't decided. I haven't got to check if it's not true.
All right. I'm going to say they absolutely will have health benefits. This is the problem. Even though they're horrifically bad for you, there will be some good stuff. They'll have probably
specifically
vitamin D in them.
For muscle repair, skin elasticity, and bone health.
Calcium for bone health.
They are high in calcium and vitamin C.
They're not high in calcium. I reckon it's going to be the other one then. It is that they've been eating them since Did you say BC? Or you said
3rd
BC.
Century BC.
I'm going to choose the first one because that's not how you say 3rd century BC. So I think you've made it up. You watch me be wrong because I'm wrong every week.
No, you're actually right. I mean, I don't know whether 3rd century BC is a thing, but I figured that it would be the 3rd century before Christ.
You would say 3 BC. I don't know.
Before Christ, wouldn't it?
Oh, I see what you mean. Then that's even worse because I'd be saying, anyway, hooray me!
Yeah, well done to you. Another fanfare.
I don't get that. That's very rare that happens. And I'm going to put cheering noise
in. Apparently, they're good for muscle repair, skin elasticity, and bone health because they're a good source of collagen.
There we are, rankers. There is our top five. Good list. Good episode. Good suggestion. Thank you, Wookie.
Yeah, hey. Brilliant. More like that, please, rankers, because that required minimum research and maximum enjoying snacks in the name of research.
Hurst, speaking of excellent lists, should we find out what we're ranking next time?
Let's do it.
How are we going to do it, Hurst?
I'd suggest that we spin the wheel of decisions.
What an excellent suggestion. There's been a change on our wheel, Hurst.
Okay.
Trooper got in touch and said, I don't want gladiators, I want to swap it.
Okay.
So he's got rid of top five gladiators, and now we have top five board games on there instead. Do we have anything else new? I don't think so this week.
Let's see what it is.
Spin that wheel. She's off. It's going to be Big Man Action Movies!
Outstanding.
Excellent. Is exciting. What else is there to say, rankers? Very much looking forward to that one, which is coming not next week, potentially not the week after, but we're not sure. It's coming at some point in the future, but not next week. So you're going to have to wait. What a cliffhanger we have left the rankers on, Hurst.
I know. And I think at this point when we have our mid-season breakers, nice to say a thank you to all our rankers, especially our Patreons, of course, who are helping us drill for internet money. But actually for anyone who listens on a regular basis and votes, to be honest, even if no one's listening, we probably do it because it cracks us up.
Yeah, we think it's funny.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite days every week is podcast day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in. And yeah, we'll see you in a few weeks' time.
We will. We should give a specific shout out to our excellent members of the official supporter hub, Hurst.
Go on then.
We have Dav Paz, we have Kovach, and we have Ross Taylor. Thank you very much for being members of the official supporters club. And thank you to all of our Patreons who are better looking in general than normal people.
That's true.
Science. We are on Facebook, Top 5 Face Off. We are on Blue Sky, Top 5 Face Off. You can email us, hello@top5faceoff.co.uk. All of those things would be lovely, but just listen and enjoy, like her says. We appreciate every single one of you. 10 episode hearse.
I know.
Double digits. Look at us go.
They said we'd never make it.
Shania Twain specifically said that, bitch.
What a bitch.
I know.
When can't did she say it. That? I can't believe it.
One of her songs.
Was that about us?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my. I always thought she was on our side.
Yeah. What a hope.
It doesn't impress her much. Unbelievable.
No. No.
So you do a cool podcast. That don't impress me much.
Bet it would.
I bet she'd be so impressed. On that bombshell, we should probably abort.
Let's fuck off, Hurst. Please, rewind this podcast for the next people to come along. We will see you in a few weeks.
Yeah, nice one, Rankers. We love you. See you soon.
Bye, Rankers.
Top 5 Face-Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Come up with a good word for winning 4 in a row, because obviously three-peat works quite nicely with repeat. I've just been looking through words that start F-O-R and just none of them seem right. Forbidding or forebode.
In bowling, it's a four-bagger.
A four-bagger.
A turkey is three and a four-bagger is four. Spoiler alert, you'd have to worry.
Okay, good. Phew.
Ah, coming right up after this.
You slag.
What about, let's do that not well burping. What about Phil? You know what's been yanking on my pubic hair, Hurst?
No, what has been yanking your pubes?
Your wife. No. No, okay, do that again.
I've told her about that. I've said she don't like it.
Let's say I'm sitting on the sofa, Hurst, and I'm enjoying some porn. No. Yes, here come some guidelines, Rankers.
So we decided
to discuss who was going to tell you the guidelines. Bye, Rankers. Good one. Now I'm hungry as piss.
I'm going to eat so many snacks right now.
I mean, you've got loads. Fucking, I don't know why I suddenly decided Shania Twain was a bitch who hated us. But now she is our nemesis.
I don't even know what song you're talking about.
Oh, you're still the one I come to. All right, time to sound the fanfare, Hurst.
No, it's not.
No, it isn't. You're absolutely correct. Top 5 people with the touch, let us know, Patreons.
Ooh, top 5 touches.
Is the touch always good? Well, yeah. The worst touch is
good. On that bombshell. Top 5 Face Off.